All right, everybody. Hey, welcome to Life Point Church. You guys doing well today? Come on, happy January 13th. Let me ask you as a favor, if you could, if you guys could scoot in to fill in some of these gaps. There are some folks still trying to get in, and we always want to make room for people to be a part of our services today. So if you have some empty seats between you, you can just scoot in, and that would be great. So hey, welcome to Life Point Church. My name is Mike Burnett. I get to serve here as lead pastor. I want to especially welcome all of our guests today. If you are here for the very first time, we want to say a big welcome to you, Life Point. Can we say what up to all of our guests today? Come on, let's give them a welcome. We're so glad you're here. So thankful for you. Hey, also, everyone who's joining us online, if you're a part of our live stream right now or you're watching online later throughout the week on demand, we want to say welcome to you. We actually have more people who join us online now than join us in the building. And so we wouldn't know what to do if all of you actually showed up here on a Sunday because we're out of space again. How many of you know that's a great problem to have, right? I'm so thankful for that. But trying to navigate it and manage it, man, we are praying about what's next for Life Point Church. And so anyway, if you're joining us online, I want to say welcome to you. You can join in the chat feature there as you're logged in, and you can get prayer. You can also join us for prayer online, get to be a part of a small group. You can give online. Actually, we'd encourage you to be a part of our water filter project, and you can give directly to that as well. Man, what a great day. I'm excited about this message. Since you brought your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Romans chapter 14, Romans 14. I had intended to preach this message last Sunday, but actually, the Lord had a different direction for us, and we went through the book of Revelation chapter 2. How many of you are blessed by the message last Sunday? Coming back to our first love, back to Jesus. Yeah, man, I've gotten some texts, you know, what a powerful word. And I was like, man, it was hard to preach. There were moments that I was even preaching it going, I need to hear this. You know what I'm saying? So I actually went back and listened to it myself, took some notes, and I was really impressed with that preacher. That guy killed it. Hey, I'm excited to get back into the book of Romans, and let me just kind of catch us up a little bit. If you don't know, we started in Romans last January, Romans chapter 1, and we've spent now, we're in our 13th month in the book of Romans. We've had a couple of breaks for some other series, but we're back in Romans, and we're on the tail end. Chapters 14 today we'll finish, and then 15 and 16 we'll be done. And then we've got a couple other series lined up before we do another book study. We're going to do a series in the spring on spiritual gifts, Holy Spirit gifts. And I know that folks in our church are always kind of wondering, what do we think about that? And maybe you're freaked out by it, or maybe you're waiting on, like, when are they finally going to let loose and get the crazy happen? And so we're going to talk about that and what that looks like for our church and what we believe about that based on the scripture. And then later in the year, we're going to do half of a book study. We're going to go through the book of Daniel. How many of you are familiar with the book of Daniel? There's some really great stuff there. In fact, we have a book in our bookstore, which we have a new bookstore now, by the way, and it's called The Daniel Dilemma. It's written by my pastor and my spiritual father's name's Chris Hodges, and talking about how to live for God in godless times, how to be an agent for Christ in days when nobody cares about that. And so that was the case for Daniel as he was part of Babylon and what it looked like for him to serve God. So I'd encourage you to pick up that book, but we're going to look through Daniel later on in the year as well. I'm excited about what God's doing in his church here. And so, all right, let me catch you back up in Romans. Of course, all of the book of Romans is written to this church in Rome, and actually the dispersed congregations throughout the Roman Empire written by the Apostle Paul. And in the last few chapters, 9 through 11, he was dealing with some of their bad theology, specifically telling them, like, hey, you can't save yourself. Your works don't save you. God's not impressed with your behavior. He's impressed with Jesus. And if you'll attach yourself to Jesus, you'll have eternal life, and then you're part of the family of God. And then in chapter 12, he shifts. And he starts talking about what it means to belong to this body of Christ. And I got to be honest, I think the church needs to constantly go back to Romans 12, 13, and 14 to just be reminded of what it means to be Christians. How many of you know sometimes even Christians forget what it means to be Christians? Amen, everybody. Some of you don't want to say amen. It's okay. I'll do it for you. It's true. And in chapter 13, he really gets into, like, hey, this is part of the Christian life. He says you need to honor people in authority. You need to honor government. You need to honor those who lead over you and pray over you and are leading in your life. He said be respectful. Pay your bills. Pay your bills. Like, pay your taxes. Honor people. Be respectful. Then he says we are actually in debt to love everybody. Like, we don't get to pick and choose who we don't have to love. We can't say, I love everybody that agrees with me, and I like people that don't agree with me, and I hate people who are against me. You know what I'm saying? Like, he said, our greatest debt is to love all people. And then he said, as a follower of Jesus, we love God first, and we love people, and then we put on Jesus every day of our lives. Now, then in chapter 14, this was 2 months ago, I started chapter 14, and then we took a break through Christmas and New Year's, and then last Sunday with the book of Revelation, that text out of Revelation 2. But as we started Romans chapter 14, he kind of calls a family meeting. Anybody know what it's like to have a family meeting? Mom or dad sits everybody down and says, this is the way it's going to be. Now hush your mouth till I'm done. Listen, I don't know why my family feels like an Italian family, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, forget about it, shut your mouth. All right, get the olive oil. All right, so he calls a family meeting, and he's setting ground rules and expectations. He's like, look, you can't save yourself. This is what it means. We're going to be good people. We're going to be godly people. And then he starts dealing with some behavioral stuff with the family. And he gave us some really clear direction. I called the message back in November, Mind Your Manners. And if you remember, I talked about how within the body of Christ, we need to remember that there are people at different places of maturity and understanding in their walk with Christ. And listen, everybody, that's okay. You know, religion teaches people how to conform to a certain set of practices. Christianity teaches us to conform to Jesus. Amen. And listen, there are folks at all different places in their walk with Jesus, and we've got to be okay with letting someone be a non-believer, but they're in the house, letting someone be a new believer because they're in the house, letting someone be an old believer stuck in their ways and staunch and they ain't never going to change. We got to have room for people on the spectrum of Christianity to be working this out. I made the statement, I said, look, there's a lot of black and white in scripture. There's a lot of gray in living life. You know what I'm saying? And so I don't want us to ever become a church that we just get so stuck in like, this is what we're like, and this is what we're about, and this is who we reject and who we repel. Let me just say it as clearly as I can as a pastor of this church. Anybody is welcome at LifePoint to have their lives wrecked by Jesus. Now listen, I want Jesus to wreck your life. I don't need his followers wrecking your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need Christians being a bunch of scallywags and just a bunch of judgmental punks all the time talking about, well, you ain't like me, so you can't be a part of me. There's some super godly people in this church that I look up to, and I'm like, Lord, I wish I was as godly as they were. I just don't tell y'all all my problems. You know what I'm saying? And there's some folks in the church where I'm like, I remember struggling with that stuff. I remember those were my issues too. But man, I'm telling you, Jesus would never reject you for being at different places on the journey. And we as a church will never reject you either. You know, I've stood before people before who have been outcast and kicked out of churches before, and even some folks that were kicked out of the church that used to be here. And I stood before them and I said, I repent on behalf of what happened to you. And I said, I will stand with you and I'll stand up for you if that were to ever happen again. And I just believe that we need to make room for people to struggle their way to Jesus. How many of you know the road to the cross is bumpier for some than others? But it's still in the right direction. Amen. So that's what Paul starts at in chapter 14. He's like, look, there's differences of your faith levels, and that's fine. Let's all just be growing. Our mission is to lead people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. If you're not dead, you have room to grow in your faith. Amen. And I don't care if you're a non-believer or a new believer, or you've been around since Jesus basically resurrected, you got room to grow in your faith. So that's where he started in Romans 14. Then we said judgment is not a spiritual gift. How many of y'all got set free on that one? You remember that? I literally had a friend one time say, I feel like God has gifted me with the ability to help people be accountable for their sins. And she, or he, this person would do that stuff online, like on Facebook, and like attack you for posting something squirrely and be like, how could you? Why would a person who follows Jesus, how could they ever? And they literally felt like it was their gift from God. Judgment is not a spiritual gift. We got the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Don't say judgment. Criticism. I had a pastor, a mentor of mine, say to me once, I would rather be creative and constructive instead of critical and condemning. So we said judgment's not a spiritual gift, and we're going to hear a little bit more about that today. And then third, he said, remember to live all of your life for Jesus. Man, what you post, the relationships you're in, what you say in public, what you say in private. Like, let all of your life be about Jesus. I think that's a better perspective for us, and it's kind of a correction for Paul. He's writing to this Roman church that's like got all kinds of twisted beliefs and practices, and they've syncretized a lot of pagan traditions and beliefs into their Christianity. He's like, look, let everything about your life be about Jesus. I think every heartbeat of your life matters to God. So I think every heartbeat of our life should matter to us with how we reflect Christ. Amen, everyone? Come on now. I've asked a question before of people. I've said, you know, they're going through some stuff and making some decisions or whatever. And I go, hey, if Jesus Christ were like your wingman on this decision, right? He was just walking with you, beside you. How would you have made that decision? And you know, that's an interesting question. Because obviously Jesus is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying over us. That's what the Bible says. But if Jesus Christ in the flesh was like walking next to you as you just live life, you go to the gas station, you go to Walmart, you're scrolling on your phone, hello. You're writing your giving checks. See what I did there? If Jesus were hanging with you, would that have an impact on your life? Oh, come on. Oh, no, you know, not really. We're pretty good. He's, you know, he gets me. I get him. He's, you know, he's. What? Let me let you in on a little secret. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit of God is with you all the time. So what if we just had that perspective? You walk into Walmart and you go, Holy Spirit, be with me. I got all my kids, my spouse in with me. Lord Jesus, be with me. Holy Ghost, come on me now. You go pay your bills. You go to work with your coworkers that you don't like or you don't get along with. You go, Holy Spirit, I know you're with me. And that's what Paul challenges us with so far in Romans 14. And then that brings us to the text today as we finish out the chapter. And I titled the message today, Having Faith and Freedom with Others in Mind. How many of you know it's good to have a faith in Jesus? Come on, somebody. Amen, everybody. Yeah, right. And how many of you know that you are free in Christ to live for Christ? You can do a whole lot of freedoms. Man, I tell you, I want to be a church that's known for the full life, not that sucks life out of us, right? I want us to have a full life and hope and joy and peace in our lives. But I found this to be an interesting title for a couple of reasons. Obviously, we want to be faith people. We want to live as faith people every day. That's the central part of last week's message, coming back to our first love to Jesus. But many of us have a mindset about our faith that it's personal. In fact, we have this cultural ethic, like you keep your faith to yourself. That's just not biblical. Right? So what if we lived our faith in a way that others were impacted by it? What if we believed the things correctly and we lived out our faith in a way that actually made a difference in the lives of other people? That's actually more scriptural. You know, Jesus lived out his faith very loudly. And so many of us have this ethic that, you know, my faith is private, my politics are private, but everything else I can put on display. Now listen, your faith should be loudly on display. What you believe about God, what you believe about Jesus, what you believe God's done in you and through you and with you, that should be a very private, public matter. Secondly, we have this American idealistic view that I'm free to do whatever I want. We have this freedom ethic in our country, don't we? We live in a free country. I remember saying that when I was a kid. I used to tell my mama that. She would say something like, boy, what do you think? And I go, it's a free country. And I pick my head up off the floor, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a pile. And we're told, like, we live with civil rights and freedoms, and all that is true in this kingdom. That's just not Christian. I mean, I want you to think about Jesus, who had the full scope of heaven at his disposal, and literally surrendered all of that to come and lock himself into bondage with us. Jesus willing to give up his freedoms. Jesus willing to not live in his freedom so that you and I can know God. That's just a different way of thinking. Now, I'm going to tell you on the front end, this sermon's going to challenge you in a new way. Like a lot of times in church, we come to church and we just want to know more about God. We want to grow our theology. And sometimes in church, we're used to hearing like, give me the new margins, give me the new boundaries to color within. And I don't really want to do that for you today. I'm not going to give you more rules to follow and more expectations to keep. I want to help you think in a different way. What if you heard a message that said your faith is actually not just personal, but it's meant to be a blessing to others? What if I said your freedoms, not only, yet like we have this ethic that says you just do you. You do whatever makes you happy as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. What if I said that wasn't a Christian ethic at all? And I said your faith is meant to be a blessing to others and the way you live out your freedoms is meant to be a blessing to others. When have you ever considered that how you live out your walk with Jesus may actually have consequences? Has anybody ever known Christians who, as they lived out their faith and their beliefs and their hypocrisy, it had negative consequence on you? Anybody? Anybody ever heard this? Church is full of, yeah. Church is full of judge. I don't want to go to church full of judgmental people and hypocrites. I don't know why I'm talking like this. Well, let me just challenge you. What are you willing to do for God so that others would be close to him? And secondarily, what are you willing to give up and not do for God so that others can know Jesus? And I'm not even talking about sin. You're going to see in a minute, I'm not even going to talk about sin today. Isn't that good, everybody? I asked a couple weeks ago, how many of y'all need to hear a good old message about sin? You know, hellfire and brimstone. I've actually had people say to me before, I wish you'd preach more hellfire and brimstone. I was like, man, there's a lot of other places doing that pretty good. I don't need to. What are you willing to do for God so that others may know him? And what are you willing to not do? I'm going to give you a simple and silly illustration in just a moment of what it looks like to surrender our freedom so that others would be blessed by God. What if your faith had others in mind? What if your choices, your decision, your language, what you posted, what you eat and drink, what you do, what if you, the things you participate in and the things you abstain from was motivated at least in part by a desire to see others know God better? That's what I want to talk about for the rest of our time together. So again, in your Bible, Romans 14, and we're going to start in verse 13, and I want to give you this challenge on the front end. We are actually free, because we talk about we're free, we have freedoms, I can do whatever I want, it's free country. Let me just challenge you with, you're actually free to love other people first. Every mom knows what this means. Every mom knows what it's like to surrender some things in your life to love others. But you're free to serve God in a way that actually puts other people ahead of yourself, that loves others first. So remember the context of Romans 14, that we're not to be critical or judgmental towards other Christians, their walk with the Lord. Now he's taking this a step further as it relates to how we treat one another. And much of this chapter has to do with how we behave as Christians. Watch what he says. Hey, I want to encourage you, if you, and I'm not calling anybody out here, this is great. I love having people of all ages in here. But if you do have a kid that gets a little fussy, it does distract some around us and myself at times. So we have a mom's room just right through there. You may not know this. We have a mother's room. There ain't going to be any dads in there. Dads, you're not welcome in there. But we have a mother's room just through this door and a full screen. You won't miss any of the service, any of the sermon. If your kid gets a little rowdy, you're welcome to go in there. I'm not having any problems with that right now. I hear a little amen from the baby corner right now. But I'm just telling you, if you need it, it's right through there. No one will judge you. They'll probably thank you in Jesus' name. Okay. I'm just letting you know it's there in case you don't know. Didn't read your worship guide. Watch what he says in verse 13, because we're free to love others first. Watch this, verse 13. Therefore, remember what he said. Now, therefore is always based on everything I just said. Here's what I'm telling you now. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another. Somebody say amen. Amen. It is not your job to judge people. There's no spiritual gift of judgment. It's not your role. I'm so thankful that I am not called to be the judge of all of you people. I'm so thankful that's not my job. I don't want that seat. You know why? Because I'd be the greatest hypocrite. If I was the one to judge all of you, I'd be up there sitting there going, I hope nobody's judging me. Because I got my issues too. But he said, let nobody pass judgment on one another. He's kind of reiterating what he's already said. And then look what he says. But rather, now circle this and underline it, decide. Is that an act of will? Is that a word of volition? Is that a decision point for you? He said, rather, you decide never. Everybody say never. Never, ever, ever. Never is not most of the time or 85% of the time or some of the time or whenever it's convenient for you. He said, decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. Whoa. He's challenging the church. He's like, hey, stop being judgmental and also don't ever be a problem for others coming to faith in Jesus. Never. Just make that decision. Decide that you're never, ever, ever going to put a stumbling block. Man, I'm so thankful he reminds us judgment is God's job. I'm hopeful that heaven is going to be populated with way more people than just the tribe of Christians who agreed with everything I believed in. Some of y'all are going to get to heaven and be real surprised at who's there. Because you've been so judgmental. You're going to be like, ain't no way this type of person's going, ain't no way that person's going. And they're going to look back at you and be surprised too. You're going to get to heaven and be like, what are you doing here? They're going to say, I was just asking Jesus the same thing about you. So just please, can we just agree to not be a judgmental church? Come on, everybody. Now watch. But not only don't be a judgmental group of people, he said, but just decide to never cause other people to stumble. Not only do I not want to judge you, I don't want to judge your issues, but I don't want to be the reason that you can't follow Jesus. I don't want to be the reason that you go, I don't know about the God you say you serve because I saw your life, I heard what you said, I watched how you treated your kids, I saw some of the things you posted on Instagram, I saw where you were on Friday night. He said, just decide never to be a stumbling block. Man, that is so different. I mean, that's just a different level of maturity as followers of Christ. He's not just giving us directions of saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't. He's like, just don't cause people to stumble. don't get in the way of other people following Jesus. It's not forced on you. This is your decision. God's not trying to make you a robot with no personal will or freedom or things you enjoy. But this is about Christian maturity, a willingness to love others and deciding to never, ever, never, never, ever live in a way that's a stumbling block. And some of us get that when it comes to sin, right? Like, that's the hypocrisy that so many people struggle with the church. They see Christians living one way on Sunday and another way on Saturday, right? Y'all have all heard this stuff before. And that's when that hypocrisy is somebody living in sin and saying they serve Jesus. Well, let me just say, stop doing that too. But what about in the areas of your freedom? What about in things that don't matter, that are actually kind of inconsequential, that are things that are fine for you? Now go back to the beginning of Romans 14. Remember what he was talking about? Some of you only eat vegetables, and some of you like to eat meat. And you're fighting over it. And you vegetarians and vegans are saying, how dare you eat meat? And here was the original context here. So we've got all these different religions coming together under Jesus. They met the Lord, and they're having still idols and pagan temples set up throughout the Roman Empire. And they would sacrifice these animals to their gods. But the Christians were saying, man, that's just a ham sandwich. You know what I'm saying? Let me get a little slice of that, a little side of fries, a little Greek sauce. That'd be great. Shalom aleichem. Appreciate you. Then they're walking down the street with this burger made out of meat sacrificed to idols. And some of these younger Christians are going, oh my gosh, I left that tradition. How are you eating that? And they just couldn't reconcile it. And so what was happening is the people who had matured in that, and they were like, man, it's just a beef sandwich. I don't care. And the people who hadn't grown to understand that those weren't real gods, they're just carved images and nothing. By the way, anything outside of Jesus is not a real god. They were fighting. And the vegetarians are going, how dare you eat that meat? And the meat eaters are going, how dare you judge me for it? And then they're fighting and squabbling and clashing. And don't we do that over stupid stuff? We do that over doctrines. We do that over practices and behaviors. And in the Christian world, there's fights over secular music and secular movies and alcohol and tobacco. And we fight over all these things. Even what we eat, diets. There are legitimately people that think you should never eat anything. No animal products. No, you know, whatever. And I'm like, I can't eat salad because that's what my food eats. Some of you got that. That's a joke I stole. I stole that joke. I got to give credit. I heard that on the TV one time. But he says, look, y'all don't need to judge each other, but let me tell you something. Judgment's not a spiritual gift, but hypocrisy is not a spiritual gift either. And compromise is not a fruit of the Spirit. But what about living in a way and being willing to surrender certain things for the sake of a weaker brother, for the sake of a person who's watching us? Did you know, people, when you say yes to Jesus, you've automatically gotten a platform in the world that you live in? You know, when you start talking about your church on your social media, all of a sudden you're lumped into a whole group of people that others think you've got certain expectations. And the first moment you slip up with that, you have a moment in the checkout line at Walmart. You know what I'm saying? You got, anybody ever had one of those? Come on. I know what that feels like. And by the way, I love Walmart. I'm thankful for Walmart. But I got four kids. And sometimes going to Walmart with four kids is just the pathway to hell. It's what it feels like, the whole journey. Got one kid acting a fool, trying to open boxes of crackers. I got another kid running down the aisle. Then I got kids like taking things out of other people's carts. But you know what happens to me? Like, I'm free to discipline my kids, but guess what happens when every time I go to Walmart? Somebody goes, hey, Pastor Mike. Hey, what's up, Pastor Mike? And you know what I did? I decided I gave up the right to pitch a fit in Walmart or at a restaurant. I gave up the right to snap back at my kids in those places. You know why? I'm free to discipline my kids. But let me tell you something. I know that when I said yes to Jesus, and now as a pastor, like, we have a platform where our testimony matters to people, right? Let me give you a stupid illustration of this. And I'm going to say it's stupid because I think it's just silly, right? He said, let's decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another brother. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter something. He goes, it would be better for you to take a giant stone and tie it around your neck and throw yourself into a lake. Come on, somebody. That's like the end of an Italian mob movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're swimming with the fishes. He said, it'd be better for you to godfather yourself than to cause another person to stumble in following me. When's the last time you thought about your life is a witness to weaker people weaker brothers in faith, maybe seasoned people in faith who don't understand your freedom. So I'm going to share with you a silly illustration. And some of you are going to sit here and go, why in the world does he even care about that? Okay? So I like to hunt, like animals, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I want to hunt an elk one day. It's on my bucket list. Come on, somebody. And a moose. And I want to hunt an alien one day, like Will Smith did. I'll shoot a squirrel, I'll shoot a cat, I'll shoot a deer, I'll shoot, you know, they're all in the same family, y'all heard that? I'm just kidding about the squirrel. So, anyway, I like to hunt. And this year, the last 3 years I've gotten into hunting, I've got some great friends that have helped me get better at hunting and, like, buy the gear and, you know, learn how to hunt and wait and all that kind of stuff. And this year, after I've hunted for 3 or 4 years, and this year I got my first buck, right? And I'm excited about that. It was a 10-pointer. I went with my wife to go on this hunt. It was a Sunday afternoon. We went on a date. And basically, I was trying to go hunting, and she didn't want me to go. And I was like, let's go on a date. So we're in this blind together. She's wearing borrowed camo, and I'm out in this blind. And 30 minutes in, this 10-pointer walks in. I shot this deer. It was awesome. And I got a lot of pastor friends that hunt. And honestly, I bet like 95% of you are like, hey, that's cool, whatever. And in fact, all the deer that I have killed this year, I've donated to feed families. And so I love that it's a blessing to somebody else. And I would never shoot anything that wasn't edible, to be eaten, you know what I'm saying, edible. And so, but I started watching in the fall time. A lot of my pastor buddies that were hunting would post their photos of their trophies, right? And I'm not one, I don't really like social media, to be honest with you. I know it's a great tool and we use it, and I don't like to spend a lot of time on it because I think it's dramatic and I kind of lose my focus on some stuff. But I have an account on Facebook and Instagram, and I think I have a Twitter. Is that still a thing? It is, I think. And so I decided I'm not going to post those. And the reason why is because I have some pastor friends who are in some high-profile churches and bigger churches. And they went, they did these great hunts this fall. And the fall time is whenever you start seeing all these antlers online, right? And so two of my pastor friends, I watched both of them go through the posting of their photos. And like 95% of the response was like, hey, that's awesome, I'm so excited. One guy killed this big longhorn, like ram-looking thing, and it was his first hunt with his daughter. And his daughter got to do the kill, and it was really fun. And then the vitriol started in. Because you know how social media is, all these justice warriors like fighting you, things they wouldn't say to your face, and they type it out and whatever. And some people started saying to these pastors, like, I can't believe a man of God would ever. I can't believe a Christian would ever celebrate the death of an animal. And I got tons of correct opinions about that, okay? See what I did there? That was clever, huh? And I don't believe the lie of Disney and Bambi. They don't have a soul. They don't talk. They don't have a friend named Thumper that's kind of coaching them through life. I don't believe any of that stuff. But you know what I thought about that, just watching the toxicity that rose up, just from posting a celebratory picture of like a hunt with her kid. And I thought, you know what? I'm just not even going to cause it, you know, 5% of people to stumble. It's just not worth it to me. That's not a fight I want to get in. You know what I'm saying? And so here's what I know. I got like 5,000 friends on Facebook, real good friends. We all talk all the time, like we're friends. And if 5% of those folks don't get hunting, that's 250 people. You know what? 250 people is worth me just not posting a stupid photo. Because I would rather never, because I've decided. I just decided. I don't ever want to do anything that's a stumbling block. This became a faith issue for some of these folks. And listen, they may be misinformed. They may believe some political agenda about animals and hunting. They may be card-carrying members of PETA. And listen, I have room for that, and I've decided I don't need to make 5% of people possibly stumble to celebrate with 95%. You know what I'll do? I'll just share that photo with friends. And so I texted it to a bunch of buddies. Check out this freaking deer I killed. Picture me and Stephanie holding both sides of the antlers. We're like, trying to be, you know, we're trying to be dead deer. How many of you got friends you can joke with, but you can't joke like that at work? Why? Because you understand. You don't want to be a stumbling block to other people. And I'm like, it's one of the silliest illustrations that I could share with you. But there's stuff like drinking. I shared my position on drinking back in November, and I said, I just decided I don't drink ever. You know why? Because I'll never be a stumbling block to some of you in my church. You're never going to see me on the Montgomery County booking log for a DUI. It'll be for running stop signs, right? That's And let me just say, if you ever see me on the booking log, just give me till Sunday to come and explain. I'm sure it was really good and whatever happened, you know. But listen, folks, this is just a higher ethic of Christian living. This is not about what's right and wrong. There's no scripture about thou shalt not post hunting photos. But what Paul's saying is just decide never to cause people to stumble. Never. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I don't want one person to not come to Jesus because of something I enjoyed that he's blessed me with. I don't want one person to say no to Jesus because they don't have an understanding of the freedoms that I get to enjoy. Guess who understood that? Jesus, who said, I will literally vacate the entirety of the heavens to come down here, and I'll submit my freedoms to be God forever, and I'll come and live among you guys so that all of you can come to God. I'm willing to surrender my freedoms to God so that other people can know Jesus. Listen, there's all kinds of debatable stuff. Let me tell you some other examples of that. Yoga is this hot debated thing in the church world. That's just not a fight I want to get in. I'm not going to lose witness. I'm not going to get in this fight about, like, I have my opinions about that. And frankly, they don't matter, because if somebody's offended by this stuff, I just don't need to get in that fight. My politics. Some of y'all folks, sometimes in the church world, like every election cycle, we get so divided on politics. Can I just tell you, church, that's not the kingdom. That's not a fight worth fighting. I'll tell you the things I'll fight for. I'm going to fight for people to give their lives to Jesus. I'm going to fight to be a church where anyone is welcome. I don't care what your lifestyle is, your background, your baggage. Anyone's welcome to come here and have their lives wrecked by Jesus. I'm willing to fight for that. I'm willing to fight for the single mom who needs some help. I'm willing to fight for the disparaged person, the person that's been kicked out of so many places. I'm willing to fight for that. But I'm not going to fight you over yoga or deer hunting or who should be president. Because I've decided. I've got tons of correct political opinions too, by the way. You know my view on who should be president, right? I should. That's what all of us believe. That I should be president. I appreciate that. All of you judge the presidency through your own filter because you believe you could do it better. That's a job I'd never want. But why in the world would I go public with some of these kingdom of the world things and cause even one person to stumble? Y'all know I went to the White House this year, right? I got to go, and it was great. And I got to tour it, and I posted one photo of me leaning on a podium like this. I mean, what a cool opportunity. I got through security. They didn't know my stop sign issues, you know what I'm saying? They didn't see that in the file. And by the way, I paid my ticket. Some of y'all don't know that. I ran a stop sign right here in front of the church. Last fall, I was in a hurry to go to a prayer event. It's true. And I ran a stop sign. The sheriff's deputy was coming down. And he did boop, boop. And I just pulled right over the parking lot at the next driveway. And he comes up and he's like, don't. He's looking at my license. And he goes, don't you work at the? I was like, yes, I do. He goes, are you one of the pastors there? I was like, worship pastor. Yeah. Chuches. I paid that ticket the next day. As soon as they sent it, I got online, I paid it. You know what, man? There's another Michael Burnett in Clarksville that ain't paid his bills. I got a letter, mad letter from the county saying, if you're delinquent on your payment, your license is suspended. Now look, I ain't going on the booking log for nothing. Y'all think I'm playing? I know this church was split in half if y'all saw me on Facebook one day in an orange jumpsuit. I ain't going to jail for nobody. So I called them right away. I was like, hey, what's the deal? And they kept running my numbers and stuff. They're like, oh, there's another Michael Burnett who ain't paid his bill. We're bad. So I sent them the screenshot of I paid my bill, just so y'all know. If any of y'all work for the county, y'all need to make sure I'm clear. All right. These are just not fights that we need to get into. Amen, everybody? Now, second thing, and I got to get through the sermon. I'm sorry I'm delayed here, but I'm having fun. And my voice is still working. I've been without a voice for every morning. I've been without a voice this whole week. So I'm trying to get through this today, and then I'll be without a voice tomorrow. Hey, praise God. So did I skip a text here? No, I sure did. Oh, yeah. Look, he said, I know, and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus. Nothing's unclean in itself. Isn't that great? I mean, Paul's just like, in 1 Corinthians 6, he says it like this. You can do whatever you want, but not everything's beneficial for you. He goes, none of the food you guys are fighting over, that was his immediate context, none of the food you're fighting over is unclean. But for your brother, if your brother's grieved by what you eat or drink or post or do, look at this ethic, then you're no longer loving them. And some of you would give this excuse. You go, well, they just need to grow up. They need to understand some stuff. That's not for you to quit judging their understanding. Quit being judgmental and just love them. If you don't understand this, I don't want this to be a stumbling block for you. That's fine. I don't have to do this. Does that make sense? I don't know that I've ever heard a sermon preached on this before, to be honest with you. He said, by what you eat, don't destroy the person for whom Christ died. Whoa. I love God so much, I would give up anything if it meant others could come to Jesus. I mean that. Like, I would give up anything. I want to say that I believe that. So, we got to live with a kingdom perspective. Kingdom of God, right? Now, the language of the New Testament especially is there's this kingdom. This is God as king, and we are his subjects. Matthew 4, it says the main message of Jesus' ministry was about preaching and proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God. That's what he talked about. That's what he focused on. Not earthly kingdoms, not culture kingdoms, not racial kingdoms, not what part of the country you grew up in. He talked about the kingdom of God and not belonging to better politics or party or social constructs, but belonging to God and to heaven. And if you're going to belong to Jesus, then you belong to the kingdom of God. God is the king of his kingdom, and we are not. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm always amazed at how easily we let this perspective get away from us. But let me say, like the Apostle Paul said, we're not our own. We belong to Jesus. The New Testament says that we are slaves of Christ, bond servants of Christ. We're ambassadors for him. So look what he says in verse 16. He says, so then, do not let what you regard as good. Notice Paul's not talking about abstaining from sin now. He's talking about abstaining from good. That's a really interesting thought, isn't it? He said, don't let what you regard as good ever be thought of as evil. That is just, that's a different level of mature Christian thinking. That's a different maturity there. Don't let what you regard as good ever be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not even about what you eat or drink or hunt or post or your politics. It's not about that stuff. But it's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Man, how many of you think this is way better than the freedoms we try to just push on people? Man, don't take away my Sunday football. Don't take away my politics. Don't take away my Fox News. Kingdom of God is not about that stuff. And he says, don't ever let what you think is good be spoken of as evil. This is why we care about others. I have tons of freedom, and I have a great faith in Christ, but I care about how that fleshes out for you. Now, I gotta be honest, this can paralyze us. This way of thinking, if we're not careful, we're like, I can't do anything. Man, I don't know if I can wear this Gucci shirt or not, if I'm gonna make somebody stumble. You know, don't be so whacked out about this that you just sit in your house all the time with no clothes on. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't go anywhere with no clothes on, but especially, you know. But just be mindful of this, is what I'm saying. Does that make sense? Just be aware that, man, your life is on display. When you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to his leadership and his kingdom. It's not about what we eat or drink, watch, freedoms, or restrictions. I had a friend tell me once, somebody was asking about his church. He attended a church in town. He said he got really convicted because he was describing his church, and the things he was saying was everything their church was against. Well, you know what, our church, bless God, you know, the guy's like, tell me about your church. You know what, our church, we don't drink, we don't dance, because dancing leads to sex, you know. We don't do tobacco, bless God. You know, I don't think he talks like that, actually. I just, in my head, that's how it happened. I think Christians should have a full life, not a dull life. We should have freedom to enjoy life, not the rules that suck life out of us. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. That's a better way to think. But let me just remind you of all the things you enjoy. Don't ever let them be spoken of as evil. Be mindful that people are watching you, and be willing to even subjugate your freedoms so that others can know Jesus. Is this making sense to you guys today? Y'all tracking with me? So look what he says in verse 18. Whoever serves Christ is acceptable to God. Like, if you're a Christian, God accepts you. And look at this. And you're approved by people. Now, what he's not saying is you need the approval of men. You need the approval of people. No, no, no. He's not saying that at all. In fact, Galatians 1:10 said, if I'm trying to be approved by people, I'm not serving Jesus, right? What he's saying here is if you're a Christian, God's accepted you, And people should be able to see what God's doing. They should approve and be like, yeah, I see God in you. I see what God's done in your life. To be approved by men means like the testimony is making sense to people. You guys tracking what I'm saying? So we live for Jesus. We serve Christ because that's the life of a Christian. And that's what God expects and accepts. But it's also what allows for healthy relationships with others. It's approved by other people. So then he said earlier, decide to never cause people to stumble. And now let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. So he's given us the action steps of this text. Decide to never cause people to stumble. Just decide that. Don't let your good be spoken of as evil. And then he said, pursue what builds other people up. Pursue that. Go after the things that's good for others. Man, so many times in our modern culture, we just do what's good for us. You be your best you. You do your best you. You be looking out for number one. But that's just not a Christian ethic. Do what's good for others too. That's why we do water filters. That's why we serve on a dream team. Hello, dream team. Shout me down right now. This is when y'all go, amen. Let's pursue. He goes in verse 20. I love this. He said, don't for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is clean, but it's wrong for anyone to make another stumble. Finally, he's given us a moral compass, a right and wrong. He goes, look, I don't care what you eat, but it's wrong for you to eat that if it makes somebody else stumble. I don't care what you drink. Now, the scripture says don't be drunk, but he's not telling you don't drink a glass of wine. He said, but don't let other people stumble. And he said, that's wrong. It's good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything. There's the caveat. Look at this. It's good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything. Like post a photo of my big old deer I killed. Actually, all three of them. Favor ain't fair, you know what I'm saying, my man? I want to give thanks to my man Gary and David for all the help and the encouragement. Joe, my wife Stephanie, they're good to me this year. Don't do anything that causes your brother. Isn't this a better way of thinking? Instead of going, am I allowed to do this? Will God be mad at me? Is this going to send me to hell? It may not send you to hell, but it may prevent someone else from heaven. Don't do anything that causes your brother to stumble. It reminds me of my favorite verse of the New Testament, Philippians 1:27. Whatever happens, live your life in a way that honors the gospel. Whatever happens, every part of your life. Are y'all getting anything out of this message today? Come on, everybody. I hope, is this challenging you? All right, so let me close out here because I'm way over time and I'm sorry about that. But I think we live by faith. We live by a growing faith. We live by a devotion to Jesus, but we don't need to live by feelings or even live by our freedoms all the time. We need to live by faith in God. Look what he said in verse 22. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Now, some of you read that text and you go, look, we're supposed to keep it private. Does he say the faith you have, keep to yourself? Does he say the faith you have, keep it private? Keep it quiet? No, in fact, the scripture says your faith should be on display. Your faith should be lived out loud. Your belief in Jesus, your commitment to the gospel. What he's saying is in the same way that you keep a garden, keep your faith between you and God. Keep it. Keep tending it. Keep growing it. Keep developing it and cultivating it. And how do we keep our faith between us and God? How do we keep that and cultivate it? And by growing that. He said, blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself. Anybody ever feel guilty for your own hypocrisy? No? Oh my God, Lord, help us all feel convicted for our own hypocrisy. Help us, Jesus. He said, blessed is the one who never feels judgment on himself. Boy, I hate that feeling when I know I blew it. Right? I in front of my kids. Like I told my daughter this week, I was like, babe, I want to be a Christian at home and at the church. You know how we parent sometimes? We kind of let our hair down a little bit with our parenting. And we discipline our kids at the house different than we would discipline them in the church lobby. Oh, Susie, I'm going to give you time out. You better stop it. I'm not kidding. But at the house, you'd be like, girl, I'm going to take your door off the frame and I'm out of here. Get out of my house. Don't nobody do that with me. I'm not going to be on the booking log beating my kids. My daughter's sitting right here. And look, I don't want to pass judgment on myself for my own hypocrisy. I don't want to let my daughter stumble in following Jesus because of my own hypocrisy. But look what he said. Keep this faith. Keep it. Tend it. Grow it. Develop it between you and God. And this is the challenge for us moving out of here. How do we grow our faith in God? How do we grow this faith that should then be on display? And this is my challenge for us this year as we go into 2019. And I think I think last week's message kind of sets us up for this, that we return to our first love. So Romans 10, 17, going back a few chapters, he says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the words of Christ. So how do we keep our faith with God? How do we keep it and tend it and grow it and develop it? Man, I want to challenge every one of you to get in the Word this year like never before. Get into a reading plan. Last year, the first time I've ever done it, I did a whole Bible in a year. And I'm just going through that again this year. It just works. First time I've read the entire Bible consistently like that. I like to go in faster chunks. And I tried to do Bible in 90 days one time, and I got super tired of it in Numbers. You know, but just a little bit every day, just get in the Word. He says, building up your faith. Faith comes by hearing the words of Christ. And then he said, but you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith. Here's how you build your faith in the Word. And praying in the Holy Spirit. It's the will of the God. That's the will of God. Praying the Word of God. Praying the presence of God. Prayer. Hey, let me tell you the simplest way to keep your faith and to grow your faith, develop your faith. Get in the Word and get in your prayer closet. What are we saying this year as we start January? Pray first. You should have the prayer first guide outside. Grab another one. Take it one to your office, one to your nightstand. Pray first. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with God's word every day. And I want to challenge you as we go into this year, grow your faith, keep your faith, growing in your time with God, with his word, with his presence. And like we said last week, that's why we worship God. That's why we have life groups. Listen, our groups are designed to help you grow in faith, to grow in the word, to grow in prayer. I want to challenge everyone in our church to belong to a life group this semester. That's why we let the Bible lead the way in everything we do here, including going through Growth Track, getting on a dream team. We offer these things because they help keep and develop and cultivate your faith between you and God. Listen, our life groups, our corporate prayer nights, Bible reading plans, all these things are for you to keep your faith. But listen, your faith is not just private for you. It's for you and those that are watching you and those that are influenced by you and those that are impacted by you. So what would it look like this year to grow in faith and then to express that faith in a way that helps others grow in faith too? That helps others come to Jesus too. And what would it look like to give up some sin so that we're not hypocrites? Blessed is the person who's not judging themselves for their own hypocrisy. What would it look like to give up maybe some freedoms so that others who are watching your life on display as you grow in faith so that they can come to know this God as well? I think that's a higher ethic. I think that's a higher way. That's a maturity response to how we want to serve God this year. Can I hear a big amen, everybody? Come on, can we stand together today and let's close this out in prayer. Did you guys get anything out of the sermon today? Hey, well, let me just close this out. Whether you're watching, joining us on video, or joining us online, I want to lead us in a time of prayer. Let me just say a couple of things before you go. If you would, don't leave before we close in prayer. This is your time to respond to God. And our prayer team's coming if you need prayer for anything. And there's a card in the seat in front of you, by the way, for your next steps and a communication. If you're going to surrender your life to Jesus today, whether for the first time or again, we want to ask you to let us know that. Just tell us on that card, hey, here's my name, my email. I recommitted my life to Jesus. We just want to follow up with you with your next steps. But I want to lead us all in a couple prayers. First of all, let me just ask, can everybody just close their eyes, bow their head? I know this is private, and I want you to publicly have a private moment with God and with me as your pastor. Let me just ask, if anybody in the room would say, Pastor, man, this word was for me. I'm hearing the Lord speak to me, and I've been challenged. Can you just wave at me real quick so I know this landed on somebody's heart? Come on, wave at me. All right, good. And if you would say today, Pastor, I need to yield my life to Jesus. I've been far from God. Maybe I've drifted from the Lord. Or I just need to walk with God again, or I've never surrendered to Christ, and I need to do that today. Nobody's looking around. Come on, can I just ask you to just raise your hand at me and tell me? Come on, yes, awesome. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Man, there are people all over this room that say they want to surrender to Christ. So here's what we're going to do. Everybody together. And if you're going to pray that with me, I want you to let us know on that card. Everybody together, come on, let's do this. Let's open our hands to God, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God coming forth, bringing life and transformation and change for us. And Lord, we surrender to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God, to the way of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God, for growing us in our faith, growing us in the things that matter, growing us in the things of freedom and the things of sin and getting rid of the sin in our lives and choosing, Lord God, to never be a people who cause others to stumble. Lord, we thank you that we would walk away from hypocrisy and maybe even some of the freedoms of our life so that others can know Jesus. Can you pray this with me, church? Last thing, then we'll worship. Say, God, come on, everybody in the room, say, God, say, I'm all in. I believe in Jesus, that he died for my sin. Say, I repent. I ask for forgiveness. Say, I want to live for you. every day for the rest of my life. And I say this, say, Holy Spirit, help me to live for God. And I commit my whole life belongs to Jesus, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah.